This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock this afternoon. Plenty to be getting on with in this hour. We'll be looking back at the Championship action from the weekend. Plenty of storylines coming out of the weekend's action. Nathan Jones is still in a job, but for how much longer after Stoke's 3-2 defeat at home to Nottingham Forest? Charlton beating Marcelo Bielsa's Leeds. And Sheffield Wednesday with a rather impressive victory away at Middlesbrough. We'll be looking at Sheffield Wednesday, Brentford and Derby in this hour. So if you want to get in contact with us, call us on 0208 70 2558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. For the next hour here, it is the Championship Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. So plenty to be talking about in this next hour. Look at some of the big news coming out of the Championship today. One bit of breaking news this afternoon is regarding the Derby captain, Richard Keogh, who could be out for 15 months after sustaining knee ligament damage on the night of a crash that led to the arrest of two of his teammates, Tom Lawrence and Mason Bennett, were charged with drink driving following the incident in Derby's Alistair area on Tuesday 24th of September. Derby said that Keogh, who was 33, had been hurt in an alcohol-related incident. The defender was initially ruled out for the rest of the season, but the Republic of Ireland centre-back may now be out until at least December 2020. We'll be talking about Derby on the field. They did get back to winning ways on the weekend with a 3-2 home win against Birmingham. So that's all to come in this next hour. Looking back at some of the Championship week, Championship get actions from the weekend. On Friday night, we had two games, one at Craven Cottage and one at the Bet365. Fulham were easy winners at Craven Cottage, 2-0. They beat Wigan. And for Stoke, the horror show that continues at the start of this season, they lost 3-2. At home against Nottingham Forest, who have made a very, very good start to the season. They're currently third on 18 points, just 1 point off the top. But for Stoke, rooted to the bottom of the table, 9 games in, just 2 points. And Nathan Jones's job is hanging by a thread, to say the least. Probably the understatement of the century is that Nathan Jones is just hanging on. He really is. That's now just 4 wins in 33 games as the Stoke manager, and it feels inevitable that it's a matter of time. I'd presumed, actually, that if Stoke had lost that game, that Nathan Jones would have been sacked over the weekend, but he is still just about holding on to that job. They play tomorrow night against a side that's just above them on the same number of points, Huddersfield. That feels like a do-or-die game. If Nathan Jones can't get a win from that game, maybe they're waiting until the international break. It's not that far away now. The Championship action this midweek and then on to the weekend, and then we're into the international break, so maybe that is the time where Stoke will pull the trigger and Nathan Jones will be gone. Then on to Saturday's action, and it looked like a tough trip for West Brom to QPR. They've made a very impressive start to the season, but West Brom came through 2-0 winners, and Slaven Bilic's side are now top of the table for the first time. They're still the only unbeaten side left in the Championship, 19 points from their first 9 games. And after that game, Slaven Bilic was comparing Nathan Ferguson to England's Declan Rice as his side went top of the Championship. Looking around some of the other games, Blackburn 1, Luton 2, Charlton 1, Leeds. Now, a big result for Lee Bowyer's side. We were talking on Thursday, about Charlton losing a couple of games. They were unbeaten through their first 6 games. They then lost disappointing games at home to Birmingham and away at Wigan. And that is a massive result against Marcelo Bielsa's Leeds side, who dropped to fourth. Both sides now level on 17 points. Derby County, it's been a rough week or so off the field for them. Philip Cocu hasn't made the greatest start to life as the Derby manager since their opening weekend win against Huddersfield, but they did secure a win. A 3-2 home win against Birmingham lifts them to 15th in the table on 11 points. Huddersfield 1, Millwall 1, so things don't get a lot better for Danny Cowley's side. He admitted that he's got a big job ahead at Huddersfield and a lot of things to improve on at the club. But a hard-fought 1-1 draw against Millwall, who are currently 18th in the table. But Huddersfield, 2 points. And as I mentioned, a massive game at the Bet365 tomorrow evening in the midweek fixtures. Stoke against Huddersfield. That feels like a do-or-die for Nathan Jones. And also maybe an opportunity for Danny Cowley to get his first win as the Huddersfield manager. Hull 2, Cardiff 2. That's a Neil Warnock side. They've been unbeaten at home, so good home record. Not such a great away record, but they get a point. They are slap bang in the middle of the table in 12th. Hull are currently 16th. Middlesbrough 1, Sheffield Wednesday 4. This was a wacky game. In the first half, Sheffield Wednesday were 4-1 up. I think it was in the 32nd minute that Stephen Fletcher scored their fourth goal. Jonathan Woodgate was not impressed. He was angered by the loss at home and in such dramatic circumstances. A pretty heavy defeat for Jonathan Woodgate's side. But for Gary Monk, it has been a very, very impressive start to life as the Sheffield Wednesday manager. Plenty of experience in the Championship. He's been at Leeds. He's been at Birmingham. He's been at Swansea. So plenty of Championship experience in there. And Gary Monk has made a pretty good start to life at Wednesday. An enthralling game between two sides that are in the top half of the table in and around the playoff positions. It was at Deepdale between Preston and Bristol City, and it was 3-3. Alex Neil has received a lot of praise for his job that he's done at Preston North End, and a pretty decent result against Lee Johnson's side. A very, very intriguing and exciting game at Deepdale. Swansea, who have been the pace setters at the top of the table on 18 points at the moment, they drew on the weekend at home to Reading. Perhaps a bit of disappointment for Swansea, as there was a last gasp goal for Reading to deny Swansea the top spot. They would have gone top by a point on 20 points if they had managed to secure that win. And then yesterday's action saw Brentford win by 3-1 away at Barnsley. A hat-trick for Ollie Watkins saw Brentford come from behind to win at the Tykes. A lot is expected of Brentford this year. It's been a bit of a stop-start year for them. Obviously, they lost Neil Morpay over the summer to Brighton. But Ollie Watkins, who they signed a few years ago from Exeter, seems to be filling in very well. Slight concerns, though, whether he was an out-and-out centre-forward. But a hat-trick and the match ball for him yesterday will certainly do a lot for his confidence, and a big win there for Brentford. As I mentioned, quite a lot of midweek action in the Championship this week, starting tomorrow night. At first, it is Ewood Park Blackburn against Nottingham Forest. As I said, Forest have been perhaps the surprise package, really, of the season. I remember last season they were seen as trying to replicate what Wolves did by spending a lot of money on, in particular, Portuguese but European players to try and take them up. Didn't really work last season, obviously. Martin O'Neill lost his job at Forest, but Forest are doing a pretty good job at the moment. They travel to Ewood Park, a 7:45 kickoff, or most of them are 7:45 kickoffs. Hull take on Sheffield Wednesday in a North East derby. Gary Monk looking to continue his very good run at the start of life as a manager at Sheffield Wednesday. Another 7:45 kickoff, a great game at Elland Road. It is Leeds versus West Brom, fourth versus top. Slaven Bilic's side go to Elland Road as the only unbeaten side left in the Championship. So a massive game, a great game to look forward to at Elland Road tomorrow evening, a 7:45 kickoff. At the same time, Middlesbrough host Preston at home at the Riverside. Jonathan Woodgate's side looking to react after that disappointing 4-1 defeat at home to Sheffield Wednesday. There's been a significant drop in the attendance at the Riverside this season, perhaps no surprise after their very, very poor display at home on the weekend. Final 7:45 kickoff from tomorrow night is Wigan up against Birmingham, two sides that are in the bottom half of the table, Wigan just above the relegation zone. 2 8:00 kickoffs, Reading take on Fulham, and then the biggest game, actually, for different reasons. I mean, you could argue it's Leeds versus West Brom, fourth beat first, but actually Stoke v Huddersfield perhaps has rather larger ramifications. Stoke, who are bottom of the table on 2 points. Nathan Jones looking to keep hold of his job. It is very much hanging by a very small thread now up against Danny Cowley's Huddersfield, who are on the same number of points above them on goal difference. Theirs is minus 10 compared to minus 11. Danny Cowley looking for his first win as the Huddersfield manager. Then on to Wednesday night, Barnsley, who are the other side in the relegation zone. They take on Philip Cocu's Derby. Brentford against Bristol City, that on the face of it has a really good look to that game. Cardiff take on QPR. Cardiff right in mid-table. QPR 3 points ahead of Cardiff before that game. Charlton play Swansea, that's sixth versus second. Two of the early front runners in the championship. They take on each other at the Valley. And then the final game of the midweek round of fixtures, it is Luton against Millwall at Kenilworth Road. So plenty of interest for Championship fans after a number of storylines written over the weekend in the Championship. They've got another round of fixtures coming up tomorrow night, Tuesday the 1st of October. There are 7 games tomorrow night and then a further 5 games on Wednesday night. So plenty of interest, plenty of us to talk about over this next hour and over the next few days as we look ahead to these midweek Championship fixtures. We'll be talking about Brentford and Derby to come later in the hour. But up first, we will be looking back at a game at the Riverside. Jonathan Woodgate was very angry, but a man that will be very happy is Gary Monk. We'll be talking all things Sheffield Wednesday next.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so we want to hear from you this afternoon about your views on your club's start to the season. There'll be very differing views depending on where you are. There are a number of clubs in a real cluster, you think. Actually, from Millwall in 18th on 10 points up to West Brom in 1st on 19, there is just 9 points between top and 18th. So actually, that there really isn't a long way between. I think that sums up the Championship, that that we get. If you just get on a little bit of a run, you can find yourself really... You find yourself really going up the table very, very quickly. That if you get a couple of wins on the board, 2 or 3 wins, get a little run going, you can go up 6 or 7 places very, very quickly. Obviously, it can work conversely as well. You get on a bit of a rut, a bit of a bad run, and you can find yourself slipping really far down that table. So I think even for fans of the likes of Brentford and Cardiff, who are in mid-table at the moment, perhaps slightly more expected of them, that actually you can find yourself really accelerating up the table if you just get a few wins. So that's how the Championship is at the moment. Looking at some of the other storylines, as I mentioned, Nathan Jones hanging on by the smallest of threads. If we think about a thread at home, if you're talking about Nathan Jones's life expectancy as the Stoke manager, it is not going to last much longer as it goes at the moment. A massive game at the Bet365 tomorrow evening, an 8 o'clock kickoff against Huddersfield. Obviously, they're on the same number of points, the bottom two. And Nathan Jones, I think if he doesn't pick up a couple of wins in the next 2 games before the international break, I think he's gone. So much pressure on Nathan Jones, and you wonder how much longer he has as the Stoke manager. One side that did pick up a win on the weekend, I'm sure our next guest will be delighted with that news, is Dom Howson, Sheffield Wednesday writer for the Sheffield Star. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Dom. Middlesbrough 1, Sheffield Wednesday 4, and all 4 of those goals came in the first 35 minutes. Were you expecting that good an attacking display from Wednesday inside the opening 40 minutes away from home?
I think it came as a big surprise to everybody, really. But you know, they were given a gift with the own goal in the 5th minute. And when you score twice away from home inside the opening 6 minutes, then you're obviously in dreamland and you're in complete control. But it was a very efficient and ruthless away performance. And you know, they were clinical in front of goal and at times this season. There's been a lack of a cutting edge, but there certainly wasn't on Saturday. And yeah, they targeted Middlesbrough from crosses into the box and set pieces, and Middlesbrough's defence, they couldn't handle Stephen Fletcher and Ati Niu up front, and the decision by Gary Monk to go with two big, powerful strikers and 4-4-2 and the direct approach, it worked a treat. And yeah, they came away with an excellent result, and it wouldn't have flattered them if they scored another two or three goals.
Do you think that's something that we're going to see from Gary Monk's team going forward as a blueprint, that they're going to get off to fast starts? It was just one of those where it was the perfect storm, where Wednesday started well, Middlesbrough were all over the place, and it was one of those where it just all clicked together?
It's too early to tell, really. You know, it's only the fourth match of Gary Monk's reign. And I think in an ideal world, you ask any manager, they would love their team to get off to a fast start and to play with real aggression and intensity and go about things in that manner. And certainly Wednesday went after Middlesbrough on Saturday, but whether they'll be able to replicate that performance over the coming weeks and months, that's going to be the acid test. And they've got, you know, Hull tomorrow night and followed by Wigan Athletic on Saturday before the second international break. So it's a big opportunity now for Wednesday. They will be looking at this to keep racking up the points and another couple of positive results, and they'll be going into that international break potentially sitting in the playoff positions.
What have you made, Dom, of Gary Monk's start to life as the Sheffield Wednesday manager? Because obviously Wednesday had to start the season with an interim manager after Steve Bruce left over the summer, but it's been a pretty good start. They started off with that 2-0 win away at Huddersfield in his first game in charge. How impressed have you been by him, and how shrewd a decision was it to pick him, considering he does have a lot of experience to play and a manager at this level?
Yeah, I've been very impressed so far. He has tried to keep things simple and almost sort of go back to basics, really. With we've seen a couple of different formations. I think the signs are that in the long run he may be looking to go with 4-4-2, but then he has also played 4-3-3, so he's shown some flexibility tactically. And they've played in different ways too, and I think in the short amount of time that he's been at the club, less than a month, he's come in and he's made a big impact, and he's also come in on his own. He's not had his own coaching staff. He's been working with, you know, the existing backroom team at Sheffield Wednesday. You know, so I think, you know, not many people do that, and so you have to take your hat off to him, really. But his attention to detail and is certainly caught the eye, and you can tell that the players, they're enjoying his methods on the training ground. And 7 points out of nine, it was a good point against Fulham, you know, where they scored and wait on to get a draw, and that was a battling performance. And away from home, they put in that first half on Saturday at Middlesbrough, that was the best performance of the season so far by Wednesday. So, yeah, lots of positives at the moment.
Gary Monk obviously spent just 6 months in charge of Middlesbrough in 2017, so not a long time there. But do you think in any way that would have helped him going into that game, and maybe could, to an extent, explain why Wednesday got off to such a fast start and were able to dominate the game because of his previous experience, however short it was, at Borough?
I definitely think his inside knowledge of the players would have benefited Wednesday on Saturday, without a doubt. You know, he's worked with an awful lot of those Middlesbrough players and signed quite a few of them. So he knows their strengths and weaknesses, and I definitely think that Wednesday benefited from that. But yeah, I just think overall that Gary Monk, he made it very clear. It was the same in the Huddersfield match, where he was the new manager in the away dugout, and Danny Cowley was the new manager in the home dugout. He doesn't make it about himself. It's not about him. It was the same going back to Middlesbrough at the weekend, that it's about the team and how they execute the game plan. And they did it to a T on Saturday to sort of keep Wednesday's good form going in the Championship.
Up next then for Sheffield Wednesday, Dom, on Tuesday night is an away game at Hull, so another game in the North East. Do you look at this game and think, another opportunity for Sheffield Wednesday to get a win and potentially push their place into the playoff positions. They're only 1 point off Charlton Preston Leeds, 1 point off Nottingham Forest and Swansea, and only 3 points off West Brom. Do you think this is an opportunity, therefore, for Wednesday to get a win tomorrow, potentially get a win on the weekend at home against Wigan, and they could find themselves in the playoff positions, potentially even higher than that, the automatic places, by the time we go into the international break?
Absolutely, and they've got the quality to get the job done at Hull. I expect it to be a different contest at Hull, and for them to not make, I think, the naive defensive mistakes that Middlesbrough did. I expect Hull, you look at their team, they've got a lot of attacking talent. You obviously look at the two wide men in Kamal Grzycki and Jared Bowen. They've been outstanding for them over the last sort of 15 to 18 months. Wednesday will be very wary of the dangers that they will pose, and then some other good players. Wednesday, it's not going to be a case of they can't just turn up thinking that they're going to win. They're going to have to put in another very strong away performance, but they've won three in a row on the road. So they go into it full of confidence. They haven't got too many injuries at the moment. It'd be interesting to see if Gary Monk rotates the team very much, or after, you know, a fine away win, will it just be a case of go with the same 11? But he's got other options and players, pushing for places. So yeah, right now things are looking very, very, healthy for them indeed.
A man that's not really enjoying life away from Sheffield Wednesday at the moment is Steve Bruce, who obviously took over at Newcastle to replace Rafa Benitez over the summer. What have you made of the transition from Bruce to, obviously, interim manager and then into Gary Monk? And obviously, without wanting to sound kind of cynical about it all and saying good riddance to Steve Bruce, but are you happier now with Monk in charge than you were with Bruce towards the tail end of last season?
It's a hard one to answer, really. No one will ever know how Wednesday would have fared if Steve Bruce was still in charge in the man at helm. You know, when he was there sort of mid-July before going to Newcastle, I think there was a certain level of confidence on the terraces and among the fan base that this could be a good season for Wednesday and they would be there or thereabouts. And then clearly Steve Bruce got the opportunity to move to Newcastle. And so, Wednesday went through a period of where the hierarchy gave caretaker boss Lee Bowen that sort of opportunity to stake his claim and see, to see if he would be the long-term answer. But they eventually decided to turn to Gary Monk. And so far, I don't think he could really have asked for a much better start to his reign. And they've got momentum at the moment. And it's a case of building on that and trying to, finish this little period of matches before the next international break on a high.
And just finally, Dom, last week in midweek, it was the League Cup and Sheffield Wednesday lost 2-0 at home against Everton. Two early Dominic Calvert-Lewin goals, not Wednesday out. Did you see that as a real missed opportunity for Wednesday, considering the pressure that Marco Silva is under? And would you have liked a cup run or the fact that Wednesday have had a good start under Gary Monk, they're in a good position in the Championship, that actually means that a lack of a cup run this season doesn't really concern you or Sheffield Wednesday fans?
A strong cup run was not high on Sheffield Wednesday's agenda this season. The reality is that they want to be in amongst that pack chasing and looking to get into the playoffs. And the Everton match, with it being only Gary Monk's third in charge, that was an opportunity for him to have a look at some of the fringe players and guys who've not been getting that much game time. So it served a purpose from that point of view. And you will get some people arguing that Everton were maybe there for the taking, not on a good run at the time. But the big priority and objective for Wednesday is to try and be in the promotion mix this season. And I think that's the way that Gary Monk viewed it. And they still gave a good account of themselves. They just gave themselves too much to do by conceding two early goals. But if Sam Winnall had brought his finishing boots with him, then it maybe could have been a different story. But I don't think there'll be that many Wednesday fans out there who lose too much sleep at the fact that they went out in the third round of the Cup, because the league is the number one priority.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Dom. That was Dom Howson, Sheffield Wednesday writer for the Sheffield Star, giving his views on Wednesday's win away at Middlesbrough on the weekend. It was stunning seeing the scores come in and the updates from that game from the Riverside. That in the 34th minute, when Stephen Fletcher scored, that was 4-1 to Wednesday away at Jonathan Woodgate's Middlesbrough. Pretty impressive display from Wednesday, and a good start under Gary Monk. Wednesday currently 7th place. They're on 16 points through their first nine games. They're 1 point off Charlton, Preston, Leeds, who are 6th, 5th and 4th respectively. 2 points off Forest and Swansea, who are 3rd and 2nd respectively. And just 3 points off West Brom, who are unbeaten at the top of the table. So considering Wednesday had to start the first, five or six games without a full-time manager, a pretty good stuff from Sheffield Wednesday, and another impressive win for them on the weekend away at Middlesbrough. Any Sheffield Wednesday fans out there that want to get in contact with us, of course, on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Loughborough Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. Up next, we'll be talking about another side that picked up all 3 points on the weekend thanks to an Ollie Watkins hat-trick. And up next, we'll be talking all things Brentford.
This is Loughsport.
We're going to turn our attention now to Brentford and to discuss their 3-1 win at Barnsley yesterday. I'm delighted to say we're joined by Mick Cowell, commentator for I Follow Brentford. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Mick. A come-from-behind win for Brentford that lists them to 14th in the table. How delighted were you with Brentford coming from behind and then winning reasonably emphatically?
Pretty pleased, Kieran, to be honest. I mean, it was a pretty miserable Sunday in South Yorkshire yesterday, so to go one down in 59 seconds, you actually look at it and you think, what am I doing here and what is the team doing here? But they powered on through, and at the end, they were comfortable winners at 3-1, and in truth, it could have been a lot more.
One man that stole the headlines from the game was obviously Ollie Watkins, a hat-trick of headers for him. There was concern, I remember, over the summer when Neil Morpay left to go to Brighton, and perhaps the lack of an out-and-out striker coming in, whether Watkins could fit in there, considering it wasn't necessarily his most natural position. Do you think a performance like that would have got his confidence going to make you think that actually he could be a long-term solution for Brentford in that position?
Brentford definitely think so. Brentford really do think that he is the actual solution to the problem at number nine, with 7 goals actually in the first 9 games. I mean, he's actually sorting the solution for us. So what we have to do is we actually have to look at getting him some backup. He won't play 40 games a season. The intensity of playing up front on your own is too tough on that. But I think the key to Brentford is not only having Watkins, it's having the service. And yesterday, Benrahma was magical. And I mean, he actually lights up the championship. He's like the genie in the lamp. He just moves from left to right. And he had us moving around in the commentary box, let alone the players on the pitch. He's that good. He's like a Hazard sort of player. So you've got Benrahma, you've got Canos on the right wing, and they're providing the service to Watkins. And that's the key to Brentford. The front three play well, Watkins will score goals. But yes, you do have to protect Watkins as the long-term solution.
Is there perhaps a bit of an over-reliance, Mick, on Ollie Watkins? He's now scored 7 of Brentford's 8 championship goals this season. So is there a slight concern that, yes, obviously there's positives with the confidence he's playing with, the fact that he scored that hat-trick yesterday, but is there that concern in your mind that if he doesn't score, where do the goals come from in this Brentford side?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. I think he's got 88% of the goals. So you look at that, but you looked at Benrahma yesterday. Benrahma had 3 chances, and another day he'd have put one of them away. Canos, right through on goal, he missed an easy one yesterday. It's about them players and the midfielders beginning to join the attack to contribute. The beauty about Brentford is that it's the chances to create. I mean, I was on your show a couple of weeks ago when we spoke about blowing Derby away over a 45-minute period. Now, if Brentford can do that, they haven't done that in all 9 games this season, but the 2 games that we've spoken about, they've showed the quality that they're not a 14th place team. And with 2 games coming up in the next 5 days, one at home to Bristol City and away to Nottingham Forest, if Brentford do play, you know, confidently, and the front three play well with the midfield chipping in, and you'll see Brentford rise up the table.
a man that you mentioned a few moments to get there was Sergi Canos, who I will know well, having obviously being a Liverpool fan. He was in Liverpool's academy, promised quite a lot, but didn't really kind of break through. But he's now kind of dropped now down into the Championship, and he's been quite a good player for Brentford. Is he going to be an integral player for the Bees this season in terms of his creativity to provide goals like he did on Sunday for Ollie Watkins to put away?
Yeah, completely. I mean, Canos is he's a real kind of fans' favourite in that he really kind of lives and breathes it. You know, Brentford is very much that kind of close-knit family, community, club. But, you know, you play for us, you wear your heart on your sleeve. And he plays with a lot of passion and he plays with a lot of emotion. And people like to see that. So he kind of represents what we're trying to do. And in doing so, he's been playing at right wing. But where he's been very clever this season is Thomas Frank has played him at right wing back as well. You play him at right wing back, it gives an extra dimension to our play. So he's been playing in two positions, but in an attacking field. So it gives us a little bit of an extra scope in how we go forward. So Canos is very important to what we do, as is Watkins, as is Benrahma.
If we look at the other side of things defensively, Corey Woodrow gave Barnsley the lead inside a minute. It was about 59 seconds into the game. Is that a concern going forward that not every game will Brentford be able to create as many opportunities as they did for Ollie Watkins to put away? And that if Brentford starts slowly, basically not coming out in the first minute and being punished against better sides than Barnsley, who are in the relegation zone, it may not be as easy to take anything from the game. And therefore, that's something that Brentford do need to learn from.
Yeah, I think yesterday, I mean, you had to take Corley Woodrow, 25 yards, top corner. Sometimes you have to stand back and say, wow, you know, that was some goal. I mean, it was one clip straight in the top corner. I mean, we said in commentary, you couldn't clip it any better if you gave him 10 chances in a game. That sometimes happens. I think what yesterday showed was the character. Barnsley played well in the first 15, 20 minutes. Then with the high press, Brentford were intelligent enough to break them down, go through the channels and start with their kind of superior kind of skill on the ball, break them down and create the chances. Eventually, Barnsley couldn't cope. You're absolutely right. The Championship is brutal. And that's probably why Brentford are kind of underachieving in the table of where they are, because they've been spluttering and starting. What we've done is we've shored it up at the back. We were letting in goals for fun last season. We're much more difficult to break down. So we're not letting in twos or threes this season. I think we've only let two in on one or two occasions, possibly, and that's in nine games. So we're beginning to shut up shop. It was just making sure that the attacking options begin to click. And yesterday we saw it click very well indeed.
Going back to Ollie Watkins, Mick, interesting to read some of Thomas Frank's comments after the game. He said he thinks he has all the qualities needed to play higher. That's why Brentford are very pleased that he signed a four-year contract just a month ago. Very clever. Do you think there's that realistic worry that in the very, very near future that potentially Premier League clubs could come sniffing for Ollie Watkins? Obviously, Brentford signed him from Exeter a few years ago. Quite clearly a talented player there. Do you think there is a real concern that, in the very near future, that he could be snapped up by a Premier League club?
Yeah, I think that's the Brentford model, though. I think that has to be the way. We have to balance them out. The reason why we got Ollie Watkins to sign a four-year contract was to protect our asset, so he doesn't go at the end of the season for nothing. We've got him well signed up, and people have to pay a set price for him to actually go in the transfer window. I think the problem is that something on Sky, and when you have games on Sky, you've got a wider audience on there, and people like Benrahma that were on show yesterday are going to attract interest in January. I think the key is if Brentford do well, their players will always attract interest. But what you can say, Kieran, is that Brentford do get good dollar for their player. They don't let them go cheap. They don't. When you go on from Brentford, everybody in the Championships goes, Brentford directors of football seem to get these nuggets at a very cheap price, and you only have to look at Morpie going to Brighton for 20 million after one and a half seasons at Brentford, and you've got to say that's good business.
You mentioned that kind of model that Brentford work within, and perhaps what fits that is Ezri Konsa, who moved to Aston Villa over the summer for £12-13 million, a player that I think is a good young player to look out for, although he hasn't really played for Villa this season. Does that kind of just show the example that even though it was a loss to lose Ezri Konsa, he's a talented young player, that are Brentford all right without him, and it's not necessarily the grass is any greener in the Premier League, that he's not guaranteed starts for Villa in the Premier League?
I think, Kieran, it's a case that you present that to the player when they're signing as well. So we'd have gone to Konsa at Charlton and say, you will play. If you're good enough, you will play every week in the Championship and you will be on show. And what we won't stand in your way is progress. We want these players to be with us to the Premier League. We want to grow this team, as you say. We don't want to sell them all the time. However, every player has his price. And if we can sell somebody like Morpai for 20 million, that means we've got, with our owner Matthew Benham, putting funds back into the club. He's one of these ones that is just one of them super owners, which isn't after anything other than the team doing well and playing in a certain style. We can then go and play, instead of players last season, we bought up Benrahma for 3 million. This time we're buying Brian Mbeumo for 6 million. And that's the difference. The more we sell, that it increases the pot, that the quality of player that we can bring in at a younger age and pay a higher price for. That's what the Brentford model. It's a very astute model. And like I said, a lot of the Championship clubs look on in envy.
And finally, looking ahead, Mick, to the next few games before this international break, quick turnarounds for the next two games. Wednesday night, it's at home against Bristol City, who themselves have made an impressive start in eighth place. Then a away trip to Nottingham Forest on Saturday, who've been in the surprise package in third. Two big games then before the international break.
Yeah, Kieran, it's all about momentum in the Championship. You know, everybody talks about Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday. Well, we've got Sunday, Wednesday and Saturday, three games in 6 days. And it's about momentum. Neil Warnock always says, unbeaten runs get you up there. Just don't lose many games in the Championship. And Brentford had lost four out the first eight. What yesterday showed was that there can be a quick turnaround, a good win at Barnsley, and if we get a good home win against Bristol City, then they go 3 days later to Nottingham Forest. And Brentford are a very good team attacking-wise, and that's what people know. They're not a 14th-place team. This is a long sprint, or marathon, whatever you want to call the Championship. You've just got to show consistency. And if Brentford can stop the defeats and go on an unbeaten run, they'll be nearer the top six rather than the bottom half of the table, Kieran.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Mick. That was Mick Cabell, commentator for I Follow Brentford, talking us through their win yesterday afternoon in the pouring rain away at Barnsley. They went 1-0 down. That Corley Woodrow strike, 25-yard strike inside the opening minute. But Ollie Watkins scoring a hat-trick. He is the man that Thomas Frank believes is the replacement for Neil Morpay. Obviously, he was already at Brentford, having signed him from Exeter a few years ago. Perhaps concerned over whether he could fit in as the out-and-out centre-forward, but that hat-trick will give him so much confidence. He scored 7 of Brentford's 8 Championship goals this season. Maybe a bit of an over-reliance, but if the likes of Sergi Canos can give him the service that he was yesterday, then Brentford can fight their way up the table. And as Mick said, if you can go unbeaten and start a run where you don't lose games, you can find yourself moving up that table very quickly. And Brentford, they've had a bit of an indifferent start to the year. They're in 14th. They're only 8 points off the very, very top. And West Brom haven't lost a game. That, I think, proves everything to you. You go unbeaten, you have a run, and you can really get things going in your season. Brentford back in action, a really intriguing game at Griffin Park on Wednesday night against Bristol City, who are currently 8th, and another side that are hotly tipped to have a good season this season. If you want to get in contact with us, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. Up next, we'll be talking all things Derby County.
Love Sport.
We're going to talk all things Derby County. It's certainly been an interesting, let's put it that way, last 10 days or so for Philip Cocu's men, both on and off the field. We can talk all things Derby County now with Richard Cusack, Midlands football writer for Reach. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Richard. Let's talk about on-field matters first, though, and back to winning ways on the weekend. A 3-2 home win against Birmingham. It felt like a bit of pressure was ramping up on Philip Cocu, despite the fact he's still very early on his tenure at Derby. But how important was it to get all 3 points, even if it was just by a one-goal margin on the weekend?
Of course. I mean, like you say, there's a lot of pressure sort of building up on Cocu, regardless of what's... Take all the alleged drink driving incidents out. Take that, put that to one side. You know, Philip Cocu, Derby this season, hadn't won at home at all. So I think there was pressure on him to get a win at home. And fortunately, they've managed to do that. I think, given the emotional significance around the match as well, it just feels like there's been a massive weight on the pitch, certainly lifted off Cocu and the club's shoulders with today's, well, Saturday's win, sorry. But obviously, it was done in the background of a nightmarish situation that's unfolded over the last, well, few days now. But what you saw on Saturday at the club was a real show of unity. A bit of colour, a bit of insight. You had, before the game kicked off, you had Mel Morris walking with Philip Cocu, sort of parallel to the touchline. You know, basically inviting the fans to applaud Cocu and you know, for the way that he's handled the situation, which he has done very well. So there was a real sense of defiance almost at the ground on Saturday. Because it was always going to be interesting as to how the fans reacted or how the players reacted, certainly. But I think that was a real positive that's come from Saturday, not just the 3 points, but the way, the atmosphere at the game, given everything that's happened.
Do you think that after what has happened with the alleged, obviously, drink driving incident, that the performance in some ways was irrelevant on Saturday? One, the result, getting a win to relieve a little bit of pressure off Cocu was important, but also perhaps showing the character of this squad, that despite the fact that a number of players weren't playing because of that incident, which Shakir ruled out for a long, long time now, that there's a sense of determination within the squad that despite what's happened, they've put it to one side for those 90 minutes and gone out there and picked up an all-important 3 points.
I think so, but I think when Birmingham crashed in that equaliser, what a goal that was, you sort of, the players were deflated, the crowd was deflated, you thought, is that the emotional toll, is that the emotional stress taking its toll, almost? I mean, it's hard to sort of quantify the impact to your captain being involved in this incident, and obviously with her this afternoon, it's going to be out for 15 months now, with an ACL and an MCL tear, and it's hurt his wrist as well, so I think the players will have also not only had to get over the fact that they've got a new, well, not a new captain, because Curtis Davis has had the armband. What a game he had, by the way. He was absolutely fantastic. He was imperious. He led the team. He was a vocal presence, a commanding presence, and he marshalled Lukas Djukovic. And we all know what an awkward sort of player Djukovic is. He's a tall, burly player. He's a very good target man, holds the ball up very well, and Davis marshalled him expertly. So the players have had to deal with, like I say, a new captain taking the armband, a new captain on the day, certainly. Tom Lawrence, who, while he's not had the best season, he can conjure up some magic. And Mason Bennett, who, while he was injured, is a capable enough squad player, as he showed last season. So you've obviously got a situation where three first-team players all out because of this incident. You're wondering how the players are going to respond. Well, they've shown themselves in a great light after that game.
The drink driving incident, which obviously involved Tom Lawrence and Mason Bennett, who you mentioned weren't involved on the weekend, was following a team building night out on the Tuesday. Now, everyone's for the squad being together and really getting to know each other very well on a personal level, not just looking at their phones and just rocking up on a Saturday and playing with each other. But we've seen, for example, with the England cricket team, that there have been a number of incidents with them on nights out where things get out of hand. Are we at a point, do you think, Richard, where these professional sportsmen have to be treated like children, because they can't be treated like adults, because when they are, they abuse their position of power and they have a bad image, or create a bad image of the club or the team that they're playing for?
I think, first of all, I think when you're discussing, I know social media creates a forum for this conversation to take place, but you have to be careful, because obviously there are active legal proceedings on this case, so you have to be all very careful at what you say and what you don't say and stuff. But one thing I think that there's nothing wrong with players going out and having a meal out and having it. I think they were playing bowling before, weren't they? They were playing bowling before they went out. They obviously went to a local pub in quite a sort of upmarket part of Derby, which is a nice place to join his arms in Quarndon. And obviously what happened. Now, I don't think there's any case to be made for treating footballers like children or anything. You know, it's just a difficult situation that's happened. And the actions of a couple have potentially, you know, caused what's happened. It's unfair to suggest that all players and all sports people, it's just a select few, which is unfortunate.
Up next then, we'll move on from the off-field stuff. Let's move back on to on-field. And up next for Derby on Wednesday, it's a trip to Barnsley, who are currently in the relegation zone. How tricky a task is this? It's actually quite a good time to play a side in the relegation zone. They're not right near the end of the season where a win is an absolute must. So will Cocu be targeting this game as another opportunity to get a second successive win and get a little bit of a run going for Derby?
Yeah, well, I watched Barnsley quite a bit last season. But Daniel Stendel, what a job he's done there. Obviously, they got beat 3-1 by Brentford yesterday on Sunday. So, obviously, I know that they're sort of, they're down in the bottom, aren't they, 22nd. They're you know, in the relegation zone, very much in a relegation battle. But you've got to wonder now, you know, it's a good chance for him to go and get another good win, I think. And then they play another team that came up in Luton Town on Saturday. So you'd like to think, and we've got an international break after that, you wonder if they can just keep this positivity going, and then over the international break, everything can just settle down, can't it? And you can have a period of reflection where you think, right, it's been a pretty crazy couple of weeks, let's just settle in and let's just take everything in. But certainly now you've got to say they've got a good chance to get a couple of more positive results on the board before we break for more international games.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Richard. That was Richard Cusack, Midlands football writer for Reach, talking us through all things Derby. Obviously, it's well documented, the off-field stuff, but for Philip Cocu, the manager, really important to get all 3 points on the weekend. And as Richard said, away game at Barnsley on Wednesday night and then Luton at home on Saturday. Good opportunity to get some momentum going into that international break where you can reset, you can readjust, you can reflect on what's happened and move forward. And after what has been a tough sort of week or so off the field, Derby want to get back to winning ways on the field and just move on to the games ahead. Plenty of action this week in the Championship. Running through the fixtures on Tuesday night, we have Blackburn against Nottingham Forest, Hull host Sheffield Wednesday, Leeds against West Brom, Preston travel to Middlesbrough, Wigan are at home against Birmingham, Fulham are on their way to Reading, and Stoke against Huddersfield. Then on Wednesday evening, we have the game we've just mentioned. Derby are travelling to Barnsley, who are in the relegation zone. Brentford host Bristol City. We were talking about Ollie Watkins' hat-trick for Brentford earlier on this hour. Cardiff take on QPR at the Cardiff City Stadium. Charlton are home against Swansea, two sides in the top six at the moment, going very, very well. And then the final game of the midweek action, Luton at home against Millwall. Obviously, a midweek round of fixtures, then the weekend, then obviously we head into the international break. That's it for the Championship. Fauci, as I said, plenty of Championship action to be talking about this week. Tuesday and Wednesday night action this week in the Championship. A full set of fixtures for all the Championship sides. So we'll be talking plenty more of the Championship as we go through the week. And I'm sure more storylines. Will we see any managerial departures this week? And who will continue their impressive runs at the top? Could we see a first win for Stoke, or could it be Huddersfield? Those two sides face each other this week.
This is Love Sport.